Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last week, we talked about second chances, and I told you the irony of it all is after I talked about everything that you get a second chance this year for, we're going to be talking about I'll do it tomorrow next week. So the series that we're just starting today is I'll do it tomorrow. And I'll tell you, with a lot of things that weigh heavy on my heart, the whole idea of I'll do it tomorrow is just simply this. There are a lot of things that stop us from our New Year's resolutions, from our goals, from what God's called us to do. We feel like God places things in our heart. But the problem is that we always have a idea that we're going to do it at some point, and we always put it off. Yesterday, Sandra and I had, for the first time in a long time, had a day at home with no interruptions. Nobody was there. Nobody was work. And we looked around the house and saw everything that needed to be done, and we said, we'll do it tomorrow. Because it was our one time of doing nothing. And so we looked around at all the dust. We looked around at the paw prints of the dogs around the house, and we said, we just don't care. We've all been there. The problem is this is kind of what we do through life. And so I was preparing messages for this entire month to just go through this idea, and I'm still staying with the concept, but as I watched the news on Wednesday, my heart definitely turned towards our nation and a lot of things that are going on in our nation. It's hard right now. Our nation is divided. It's very much divided morally. It's divided politically. It's divided religion. It's divided on many different counts, and it's hard to post too much because everybody's got a point of view or a reason why. I watched many of the news stories, and I watched things and as it unfolded online, and then I turned on the TV in my office and watched Fox News as I watched things that I never thought you'd see in the United States, people going into the Capitol. And then you hear the other side of the story where the people say that's not all Trump supporters. There's this other idea that they were trying to make it look bad. And the truth is that the more you dive into it, the more you realize we're just divided on how we feel about what really happened. But this has been the story of 2021. I mean, 2020. This has been the whole story of 2020, that no matter what is, if it's bad, it's someone else who caused it. And if it's good, it's what we want. And if you believe in that side and your idea, your morality, your concepts, your political views line up with a certain speaker, you're like, that's absolutely right, that's the truth. And if it doesn't, you think it's all lies. And the problem is that after a while, you turn to everything and you think, who do you trust? I can't trust the news, I can't trust the internet, I can't trust my friends speaking because everybody's view is manipulated. In fact, we all do it. We have biased based on our system of politics and our system of beliefs, and we have a very heavy politics bias. And the problem is this, as we look across this congregation and we look across Boone County and we look across the United States, what we find is what we're left with is fear. When there's no truth, because when truth doesn't win out, you're left with fear. You just are. There is no doubt that when you don't know all the facts and you are trying to grasp all the facts and you're trying to understand, you are left and gripped with this internal fear that you do not know what to do, what to say, what's right. In fact, most of us start off most of our conversations who are, I would say, middle-of-the-road people. We start off most of our conversations with a few sentences to test the waters to see how they believe first so that we don't enter into a debate match with somebody we really don't want to argue with. So how do you get into a nation how do you get into church when Pastor Brian said, we got to share the gospel, we got to do better with our family, we got to be more faithful, we got to serve God, we got to dive into the word, we got to dive into the truth, when right now we treat truth as though it's not absolute, it's always changing, and there's no real thing as truth. So every week we come in here and we say the Bible's true, it's infallible. We say that the Bible is written by men who were inspired by God, who wrote down the pen, and it makes the word of God infallible. It's trustworthy. You can trust it. You can believe what it says. But in a world where nothing's trustworthy, the problem is winning people over to understand that this is not just our truth. It is the truth. So we're diving into this, and we deal with all this stuff. And so some of us are stressed out. We're divided. We're divided in our families of how we believe and the concept. Some of us are so stressed out in our personal life that it's even hard to feel what's going on in our nation because of personally what's going on. And so you're like, I don't give a trying to not use words that Clint Powers would use. I don't give a flip about what's going on politically because my own life is so much shambles. I don't give a care of what's going on in the world because my own life is in such turmoil and financially I'm hurting so much. My family is splitting apart that so much I'm really hurting. So financially we're hurting. Relationally we're suffering with our kids, with our spouses, with our parents. We're struggling here. And so when you're struggling this way, physically and emotionally, you're exhausted and you're depressed and you look around and you're like, I just don't know how to feel about this anymore. And you don't care what's going on beyond that because of your own personal dramas, your own personal demons you're fighting. And can I just say that? Some of us are fighting some real demons in our household. Right? Some of us are really fighting some real battles, and it's tough to get up in the morning. It's tough to pull the sheets off and just get out of bed. And it's not just because it's cold in the house. It's because emotionally you just don't want to move from that environment in that moment. And when you talk to people, they look at you with that funny grin that you really think they think you're crazy. But the truth is they're just trying to understand because if we really were honest, all of us have got our own little messes that we're dealing with. It's really hard to understand someone else's. The reason why we don't interfere and get involved in everybody else's turmoil is because we got so much of our own. We're like, I don't have good advice for you because I haven't figured it out for myself. And so this idea is we just kind of hope it'll play out. And emotionally, spiritually, politically, relationally, we do this. We step back and we think, I'll just wait to see how this plays out. Basically, we say, I'll do this tomorrow. I'm going to pull back relationally. I'm going to pull back from everybody. And for some of us that haven't, that we wonder where our friends are that were coming to church that are watching online, some of them just don't feel like they can be around people yet because it's just too hard. So some of us are in a place right now where we're getting all these things and all this stuff's happening in the world, and we're getting bad reports from the doctor. We're praying, God, deliver me from this and heal me of this, and I don't know how to deal with everything else because I'm dealing with some real medical needs that nobody really understands. I'm worried. I'm worried how my family's going to be taken care of. And so nationally and personally, reality is looking us and staring at us out of the face, and we are scared. What do you do when the world and life is staring you right in the face and you don't know what to say, what to do, where to turn, and you don't know where your next step needs to go? Here's the good news. There's good news. Yeah, there is good news. Most of what we're given in the scripture was not written in great times. They weren't written in times of calm and peace. They were written in times of great difficulty and turmoil. So the advice that we get and the truth that we get out of Scripture really comes from a place where there was not a lot of great hope. In fact, there was a lot of great problems. And I really don't mean to make light of anybody's problems in here, but some of the problems were so bad and so hard that when you read the Scriptures, I think some of the people in Bible days would look at us today and think, that's what you're upset about. That's what you're mad about. But for us, it's real. And the reality is inset, and the reality is overwhelming, and the reality is up on my shoulders, and I just don't know what to say or what to do. And I love it because when we talk about problems, most people look at me and say, Pastor Brian, you don't live in the real world. You don't work with real people. Stare to your left and to your right. This is a church full of real people. With real problems. In fact, I tell people all the time, if you're looking for the perfect church, you've come to the wrong place. We are not perfect. We are forgiven people who love God, who are going with Him with all our heart, but we are not perfect. We're striving to be all that we can be. There's no hypocrites in here. There's people who are struggling and just trying to find God and find God through the peace and through all the pieces of their life. They're doing it, but these are not perfect people. And that's okay. He loves us where we are. So if you're looking for problems, listen, I promise you'll find them. So don't look for them. fact, I could point out a few for you. Don't worry, most of them are towards me. But I tell you, the reality is that God is doing something in this place that I would take for granted, and that every day I'm so thankful to be the pastor of this church. So this book is not filled with feel-good messages. In fact, we see that Joseph was a man who found himself. He thought he had favored God. He was dreaming. He had a vision what God was going to do in his life. And where does Joseph find himself? In a pit. He finds himself in a pit that his brothers had put him there, and they're above him, and he hears the voices of them deciding whether they're going to sell him as a trade into trade as a slave, or whether they're going to just kill him and hide the body and tell dad that something dramatically bad happened to him, and they're so sorry they don't know what they could do. And so they're debating, and as Joseph's in this pit, he's thinking, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking what would happen to me. But Joseph's going through all the ideas and the emotions of being in the pit, thinking these are the people that are supposed to love me and care about me. This is my family, and this is the way they treat me. Eventually, they decide to sell him and tell dad that he had died by a lion. So he's sold into slavery, and we know the story if we've been in church very long. If we don't, basically, he goes and he's sold into slavery to a guy named Potiphar, and he works his way into the house. He becomes the chief of the house, and his boss's wife makes many advances towards him. He says he won't have anything to do with her, but she's constantly making advances of him. And finally, one day, she says she's just going to have him. And when he runs away, she decides to make up a story that he tried to rape her, and then he's thrown in jail. From jail, he sits there, and he works himself up because he never saw. He just constantly wanted to do his best. He worked himself up as one of the head people in the jail who were that they would use for different tasks. And we know eventually that there was a cupbearer and a baker who came in who had two dreams. The baker wasn't very good. He wound up being sent and died in a few days. But the cupbearer was restored. When he was restored, he forgot Joseph, and he didn't remember Joseph until it fitted his moment of need. And he mentioned Joseph, and then Joseph rises. But before all this, Joseph went through trouble, through trial, through persecution, after persecution, after persecution. Imagine being King David. King David, who was just a shepherd boy, who rises up and to the king, and the king wants to kill him. And he finally survives all of the idea that Saul wants to kill him, waits for Saul to die in battle on his own, and after that he becomes king, and now he's king after going through all the trouble to get here. He's saying, finally, I've arrived. Finally, I'm where God wants me to be. I'm right in the center of God's will. And he wakes up to one morning to hear this, that his son Absalom is out to take his job and out to kill him. And from his own family, once again, here he is. He's in turmoil. There's constantly someone coming after him. And he's once again in great conflict, great turmoil. You have the Apostle Paul. Thought that God called him and found himself dragged in prison time and time again, beaten, his future a blur. But he trusted God's promises over and over and over again. Just last month, we talked about Mary. Teenage girl who's got her whole life ahead of her, and all of a sudden she finds herself pregnant, and she's done nothing wrong. And has to face the ridicule of a mother who's out of wedlock, who's pregnant with, in essence, our Messiah. But nobody knew, and nobody believed. This Bible is, this word, these scriptures are filled with stories just like this, where people are going through very difficult time in discovering that God is with them and never left them all along in the process. This is a book about how much God is in control and how much, very much, we are not. The title of my message is this, don't delay, pray. The frustrating thing about giving up control to God is that is when we understand the alternative is worse. If we don't trust God and let God be in control, then we worry, we panic, we overreact, we live in fear, and that's where most of us are at right now. We haven't allowed God to be in control. We haven't allowed God to be in empowered. And so what do? We set back, and we are fearful, We're overreacting, we're worried, and we're stressed out about life, and we wonder what's going to happen next. Most of Americans are on high alert about what's going to happen over the next 10 days between now and the inauguration. So I'm going to tell you what the scriptures tell us to do as believers. And we're going to dive into just a few verses this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Listen, I've never known that worry, fear, I've never known any of those things to make things better. In fact, they usually make things worse relationally. They usually make things worse financially. They make things worse physically. Those things have never really helped. So here's what I want you to understand about the whole concept. And I've made this statement before. I didn't come up with this idea. But don't underestimate what God is doing during difficult times. This is not new to him. In fact, just take a nice screenshot of that. Put it on your mirror. Don't underestimate what God is doing right now during these difficult times, because this is nothing new to him. It's new to you. It's new to me. But it's not new to God. Do you think this is the first time they had worries about who's going to be the leader in a nation such as large as Israel? Do you think this is the first time they dealt with godly and ungodly kings, regardless of what aisle you fall on? Today is not about getting back control of our life. It's about learning to trust God through difficult times and believing that he's going to see us through this. So today, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is writing from prison, and he instructs us to pray during these times of distress. In fact, after being shipwrecked at Malta, Paul arrives in Rome during the reign of Nero, and it's not a good time for Christians to be in Rome, and he is writing to a church 700 miles or 4 months' travels away. And here's what he tells them in Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. To which you would say, people will think I'm crazy if I do this. This doesn't make sense. In fact, have you ever told someone and something and you just felt like they didn't listen to you because they blew you off? That's what it feels like. Paul's telling them the problem, or you're telling Paul the problem, how bad things are awful, and he just, just rejoice again. Just rejoice. It's going to be fine. I had a pastor I worked for, and his response to every problem I would bring to him, it's fine. It's fine. To which I would tell him, you don't understand the problem. It's not fine. The reason why you think it's fine is because you don't have to deal with it. I do. But it was one of those things that is constantly, if it's not your problem, you don't understand the problem, it's easy to say rejoice. But Paul is in the middle of going through all these situations. He's in the middle of going through very difficult times. In the middle, he says, be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon. Now, I preached on this verse somewhere at the beginning of the pandemic, because I think it's important that we understand this. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. We are believers. We're followers of Christ. People are watching you and your reaction to decide how Christians act. In fact, it may not be fair, but how you act is how they believe all believers act. It's not fair to me, but the way I act is the way they believe all pastors act. And when some pastor messes up, they think all pastors do those things. It's not fair, but it's reality. So you're constantly dealing with this. Hey, know this, the reason why we're going to be considered all we do is because the Lord is coming soon. And if anybody knows anything about the end times, let me assure you, this is just a way to understand that the Lord is coming soon. When you read what's going on in the news and you take it along with what the Bible says when the Lord is coming back, the Lord is coming back and he could come back at any moment. In fact, he could come back any day, any hour. This could be that moment because the signs of the time are fulfilled. In the midst of difficult times, don't be sucked into the same sense of gloom and doom as everybody else. And it's hard. Because when you see images pop up on your internet, on your Facebook, on your Instagram, upon your Twitter, or whatever you're following, when you see images show up on your TV and you watch these things, it's hard not to overreact. It's hard not to get stressed out. It's not hard to get sucked into life is over, we're never going to be the same. It's hard. But you got to remember this. You, as believers, know who's in control. God hasn't gone anywhere. Don't let stress impact your character. That's worth saying again. Don't let stress impact your character. Who you are when nobody else is around. What you say, what you do, matters. Don't let stress impact your character. Be gracious and gentle, and don't lose your influence with people. Because then he comes in and he says this in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Paul, you don't understand the problem. Some of you are saying, Pastor Brian, it's a cute message. But you don't understand what's really going on in the world. I get it. I get that it's easy to play that side of it. And I get that it's easy to sit and watch things, hear things, and just get. But I got to tell you, the scripture never changes. And its words are true. And so it doesn't matter what goes on. It doesn't matter how bad things look. I, as a believer, need to be considerate to everyone. Know that the Lord is coming soon, and I need to do this. Don't worry about anything. No matter how bad I want to. No matter how hard it is to get out of bed, no matter how hard it is to move past that moment of stress and overwhelm and all the problems going in the world, I've got to remember this. Don't worry about anything. Worry means to be troubled or distracted by the cares and fear. The context always is about concern about the future. What's going to happen next? So here it is. Then what are we supposed to do? It says the next little line right there. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Pray about it. Don't you think I've prayed about it? Don't you think that I've been praying for my family? You know what we like praying? We like praying, get me out of this mess prayers. Lord, don't let me get caught prayers. Lord, don't let this get any worse. Don't let my spouse find out. Don't let my family find out. We like praying, don't let that police officer catch me. We like praying those prayers that in a moment, in just in a moment, as we're going on those emergency prayers. But it's not talking about that. Pray about everything. You see, when we live a lifestyle of prayer, right now we're in the middle of our prayer and fasting time, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Some of us are doing the Daniel fast. Some of us are fasting other things. But every one of us should be concentrating on something. Even if this is your first time and it's something small, man, great for you starting out and doing something. But we're all trying to fast and pray. This is a time for that concentrated time of pulling away, praying, seeking God's face, and saying, God, I'm trusting you through this. The more I fast, the more I understand that God really does have everything under control. My spirit and my mentality and my heart lines up more with his the more that I allow myself to deny myself of flesh from whatever's been distracting me, whatever's been pulling me away. And again, everybody's doing something different, and that's fine. So as I'm lining up with God and I'm praying about everything, I have to understand this. I've got to get past the idea that these little small, little fast, little emergency in-the-moment prayers aren't going to cut it. I'm going to have to really pray about things. Some of us don't know how to pray more than a few minutes. I get that. But if you want things to change, you're going to have to stretch your prayer life. Prayer is about relationship. If every time I talk to Sandra, I said, dear Sandra, thank you for all you've done for our house, and thank you for cooking the food, and I thank you for that. Yeah, bye. And then the next time I come to Sandra and I say, Sandra, thank you for keeping your hand upon our family tonight because we really thought that police officer was going to get us. And thank you for, the food and cleaning. And it's not much of a relationship. But then when I really want something, I come to her and I say, please, 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 please. I don't have a relationship. See, prayer and praying about everything means having a lifestyle of prayer so that when I come, I'm already in relationship. Sandra wants me to do more to her than just give her little thank you notes now and then. She wants me to talk to her, tell me about what's really going on in my life, what's really happening. In fact, whenever I don't give her enough information, she asks more questions, which drives me nuts. So-and-so's in the hospital. Well, which hospital then? I don't know. Well, does their wife with them? I don't know. They're in the hospital. I don't know. It really is like a comedy sketch. I don't know. Well, have you contacted them? Not yet, because I just got the message to give a chance to get there, but I'm going to call them later. And okay. So do we need to send a note out to the staff? I don't know. Do you want to send a note to the staff? Go ahead and send a note to the staff. Go ahead and text the staff. I don't know. Just go ahead and text the staff. It's fine. Text the staff. Okay. So this is our life. See, we are no different than y'all. But Sandra wants communication. She wants more. She wants more than just, a surface relationship isn't going to do it. Surface relationships don't last 26 years like ours. Surface relationships last a few years, then you run out of things and you start over. You've got to get deep. So when it comes in, it says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then he goes on and says, and thank him for all that he's done. You got to thank him. Paul's really talking about prayer. It's this formula. Pray about everything. Don't just pray about the big things. Pray about everything. What's big to God? Nothing's big to God. God created the heavens and the earth. Nothing's big to him. So first thing, pray about everything all the time. Pray about everything. Don't just pray about the news today. Pray about the news on a slow day. Don't just pray for your family when that you're worried about them. Pray for your family when everything's going well. Pray about everything. And then tell God what you need when it comes up, and then thank you for all that he's done. Whenever I thank God before anything's happened, that shows trust. When I thank him for all he's done, listen, the idea is not to inform God, but to discover what it is you are already after or wanting and verbalize it to God. Learn what you're afraid of, learn what the problem is, and verbalize it, learn to communicate that to God. That's the goal of prayer. Difficult times elicit fear. These are difficult times. People are afraid. People are scared about what's going to happen with their jobs. We got employers in here that are job owners that are having trouble hiring people because of things that with stimulus package and people staying home and not ready to work and not ready to come back to work. And they've got jobs open that they're ready to hire people and they can't get everything functioning the way they want. What do you do with that? Fear, if explored, can really, though, reveal what you're really wanting. If your prayers are prayers of distress like this, Lord, I need you to heal. I need you to fix. I need you to do this. And if you don't, I'm afraid this is going to happen. Those are the type of prayers that he's looking at, those in-depth prayers. This is about placing into God's hands what only God's hands are capable of handling. God, I'm taking this out. I can't fix this. I have no ability, no power, no authority. I can't fix it. I'm taking it from my hands into your hands. God, the depression that my spouse is going through, I can't take care of it. I can't handle it on my own. I'm taking it from my hands into your hands. God, I'm trusting you to heal, to deliver, to set free. God, the physical needs that my spouse is going through, whether it be whatever it is, high blood pressure, Crohn's, whatever. God, I'm scared that's what's going to happen next. I don't know what to do. I'm trusting you. I'm handing it off to you. Whatever it is, what are you willing to hand off to God and say, God, it is yours. And then when you do this, when you really act like this, here's what happens. You get peace. What kind of peace? The peace that transcends all understanding. Verse 7, it says, then you will experience the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand. You can't even begin to understand it. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live with Christ Jesus, which exceeds anything we can understand. In other words, it makes no sense to have peace when nothing has changed. It makes no sense. Have you ever been in the middle of a storm and just felt such peace? I've been on planes during storms. I guess I've just never been afraid of heights. I've never been really afraid of planes. And it's funny that you'll see the plane, it'll jump, it'll do, people get scared, things get knocked around, the fasten the seatbelt comes, sign comes on, and you know, I really just have never lost my nerve or cool over there. But to watch everybody else around, it's kind of entertaining at that point. If you're not the one losing your self. But it's interesting because I trusted the pilot. And I trust the idea that this pilot has flown many times before, that this is his route, that he is or she has done it many times, and that they're going to get us through this, and that this is not new to them. And if it wasn't safe, they're going to pull it away. And it's funny how sometimes we have the ability to trust a pilot, but we don't have the ability to trust God. But when you have absolute trust, you can have peace when you're going through something. Nothing's changed. Nothing's stopped. Listen, when you go out of here, the news cycle is still going to be the same news cycle as when you came in. Nothing's changed. The difference is you can have peace when you take it from your hands, put it in God's hands. When you leave here, nothing about what's going on financially in your life is going to change. Not immediately. Nothing relationally is going to change. Nothing that you've been stressed about in 2020. None of those things that we talked about are going to be fixed the minute you walk out of this room. But what is going to happen is you get to have a peace because you've transferred it from your burden to his burden. His burden's light. His yoke is easy. Prayer isn't about changing things. Prayer is about being changed. God changes me. Change to trust God no matter what's going on. Change so that we can have the freedom from decisions that will complicate our life. Changed because we have placed into God's hands what only God's hands are capable of handling. How many of you, early in your life, remember this, you've learned to transfer, we've talked about this before, Lord, to come to find an old-fashioned altar, an old bench. Maybe it's a place at home. Maybe it's a place on the farm. Maybe it's a place in your backyard. Maybe it's in the basement. Maybe it's in a closet. But it's a place you go when you don't know what else to do and you're stressed out, and you go and you seek God and you just sit down and you just pray. Some of you come to a church like me. I have the ability, because this is where I work, I get to come here and I just lay my face on the ground before God. I just touch God. And I just say this, God, I'm gonna pray until I feel deliverance. I'm going to pray until I no longer feel this burden. I'm going to pray. And some of us have learned the key to come and learning to hold and stay into a place until God takes that burden off of you, until you feel release. Some of you haven't. Some of you have been carrying things not just for weeks, but for months, for years, and you are constantly burdened, and you need to get to a place, whether in this building, whether in your prayer spot at home, wherever it is, you go find that spot where you talk to God and just say, God, I'm going to stay here till you release this. Until I feel released, I'm going to stay here. Listen, when life is stressful and hard, I'm going to learn to pray, and I'm going to pray until I feel release. I'm going to pray until I feel the burden taken from me and turned over to God. So here's what I want you to do today. I don't normally go back a year later and try to preach a verse that I preached before, but there was no doubt. In fact, I was having trouble deciding exactly which direction I was going to go. And the minute I saw that news cycle, I told our staff, I said, I know what I'm going to preach right now. I mean, it came together within an hour. I just knew that this is what we needed to say today, because we are a nation and a people, and we're a church full of people that are feeling the pressures of what's going on around the world, what's going on in our personal life. And if there's anything we need, it's this ability to say, God, I'm going to trust you. How can you rejoice when everybody else falls apart? Because you have peace. Why? Because you turned it over to God. It's no longer my burden, it's his burden. Pastor Caleb says we have this problem sometimes. We lay it out and then we pick it back up and we say, we don't know why nothing's changed. You got to release it and leave it here. Leave it. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. With everyone standing in this place, and sometimes we do that just to give you a chance of transition so that you can respond to what God wants you to. With everyone standing in this place, here's all I want. I want you to simply do this. I want you to take what you've been worried about, what you've been stressed about, and I want you to give it to God. For some of you, you need to take a few steps to an altar, and there's altars up here, there's places to kneel or stand up front. Some of you just need to get with your spouse and come to the front bench, or maybe you just need to turn where you are and pray together. Maybe you just want to join hands where you're standing. But I want you to take the next few moments, and I want you to begin to start the process of handing over to God what only God can take care of. You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. You need the Lord. You need to trust in Him who is the only one who can lift this burden from you. And give it to Him. And don't pick it up again. And walk away free. Amen. As the worship team comes, that's what I want you to do. Find a place. Pray. Stand praying. Kneel praying. Stay where you are. Whatever you're comfortable with. But I want you to find a place and give this to God.